Turn your Bibles to Romans 8. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get the other side of the equation today. We've been talking about the body. We've been talking about the flesh, what he's done, how he has thoroughly, thoroughly buried the old man. Amen? May not look like it's buried, but legally it is. Today we're going to see what he's done for us in the realm of life, which is amazing. Romans 8. Verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Just so you know, that's not actually talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's the one that actually enforces that law. He's the one that actually takes the law. That was a law that Christ purchased for you in his death. See, when man was originally subject to the fall of Adam, when he said, you shall not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and of course man ate, and when they did, the law of sin and death entered into the human race, entered into the loins of Adam. It was passed down upon all men. Because they had the law of Genesis, they could procreate. They were procreating eternal beings, but they were eternal beings that were born under the law of sin and death. It wasn't a good scene, so God immediately initiated his redemption, amen? And through that redemption, through the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, he literally took the entire race of Adam in his death, and he buried it all. He buried the whole thing, amen? And he created a new species on the planet called the law of the Spirit of life. And when you receive Christ, you receive him, spirit, soul, and body. Now, what was recreated is your spirit. You were born again into a new species. That law, the Spirit of Christ that he purchased, is what the Holy Spirit uses in the work of regeneration. Without that law, the Holy Spirit was with all the Old Testament saints. He just didn't have that law to work with. When the Lord purchased that law with his blood, he took the law of the Spirit of life. And when you're born again, he took that law and he recreated your new man. Amen. And you were what's called born again. How many of you are born again? You have to be born again. That's why good works will never get you to heaven, because you're still dealing with a fallen creation that has to be transformed. Amen? And that's how he used the Holy Spirit, used that law. So what he said, the law of the Spirit of life made us free from the law of sin and death. Now listen, we were freed, all and every part of us was freed, not just our spirit, legally. Now, you're going to see this in verse 10. I'm going to review just a little bit. Verse 11, he says, if Christ be in you. So if Christ be in you, you have to understand how the Bible works. The body is dead because of sin. My body doesn't appear dead to me. It's dead, though. But you have to understand what he's saying there when he said the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. Because of righteousness, he had to do something with your body and his work of redemption. So what he did is he purchased all of you. All this happened, by the way, at the Jordan. When he went in the Jordan, you remember right before the anointing of God came upon him, you know what the whole Jordan thing was about? Because John says, I'm the one that needs to be baptized with you. He says, no, we have to fulfill righteousness. You know what he was doing there in the Jordan. He had to introduce a new covenant legally in the earth. And he had to introduce it before he actually paid the price. He was going to pay the price on the cross. He's going to pay the price through his death, burial, and then his resurrection. But that was going to be 3.5 years later. But God needed to come upon him to introduce that covenant. And he had to actually walk in that new covenant while he was on the earth before he paid the price. So what happened in the Jordan is really important. You see this is that when John baptized him legally, that was the baptism of his death. That was the crucifixion. That was the baptism. He died that day in the Jordan. He, as far as God and his righteousness was concerned, the Lord died that day. And the whole race of Adam died with him. That's the day it happened, because once that took place, when he was submerged in that water, that was the baptism, what we call the baptism is death. When he was raised with newness of life. As soon as he came out of that water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Amen? With power and glory. And the new covenant was literally introduced that day. As far as heaven was concerned, the Lord was bound to the cross from that day forward. He was bound to the cross. He was bound to his death. He bound himself to his own death that day. Had to do it at that point because the Father came upon him that day. And the Holy Spirit came upon him with a new covenant. The price had to have been paid. But that day, legally, it happened. Amen? When he did that, we all died. In Adam, we all died, but in Christ, we all lived. So what happened is this. He said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. We, when we were born again, entered into his baptism. Spirit, soul, and body, we were all buried with him in baptism. When I say all of us, spirit, soul, and body. Know you not, your members, speaking of your spirit, soul, and body, are members of Christ, not just your spirit. He purchased all of you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, know you're not, you're a purchased possession. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. Which your body belongs to him. He considers your body a purchased possession. Well, how can he do that if the law of sin and death can still operate in my body? Well, legally, when you get this revelation, you might take a couple of laps. Legally, he buried the law of sin and death in your body. Legally, he buried sin. Legally, he buried all of it. He said the body is sin, and he declared it dead. For he that is dead dieth no more to sin. He dieth unto sin once. Let me ask you a question. If you were literally dead, could sin reign in your body? Why? Because it's dead. Legally, your body's dead. That is actually good news. In the terms legally dead, he's not talking about dead as far as walking around the earth. You're still alive. If you can walk, you're not dead. That's pretty deep, isn't it? If you woke up this morning, you're not dead. He's not talking about that kind of death, but he's talking about in terms of the law of sin and death, in terms of the old man, in terms of what you inherited in your birth from your forefather Adam, that is dead. Even though we still have the capacity for sin, the body's a very unique creation because legally, God not only buried it, but he raised it. He raised it up, but he didn't raise it all the way up like he did your spirit. See, your spirit was raised all the way through the roof. Your spirit was raised into heavenly places with him, right? And because we were recreated, but the body couldn't raise all the way up like that. If he did, he'd have to take you home. Because your body, now this is important, gives you access to operate here. If he had glorified your body, you can't live here anymore. Amen. See, he glorified you, you'd be on the heavens. So he purchased the glorification. You're a purchased possession. He's already provided it for you. The Holy Spirit's our down payment, but he has already purchased the glorification of your body. That is the complete redemption we're all look forward to. Amen. At the sound of the trump, because of the generation we live in, the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the dead bodies. They'll all rise up and he'll glorify them. And then us that remains will be caught up with him in the air and be instantaneously glorified. Isn't that awesome? No more struggling with the body. So what did he do since he's purchased the body? It's not legally the law of sin and death has no hold on it. So what did he do in the realm of this body? This is what I want to talk to you about today, of operating. So not only can it be buried legally, we can bury it in baptism, but it can also, which is amazing, your body can actually receive glorification. Your body can receive life while you're here. Isn't that amazing? Your body can receive what he has purchased for you on a temporary basis here now. Now, I'm going to show you today three phases of this, which the Lord showed me. He goes, I want you to show you what to look forward to and the coming operations of God in these last days, because I'm going to bring my people into fullness. If you want the other side, listen to the last three teachings, how the winnowing fork works, the two-edged sword, skilled knife of circumcision, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. All that is part of him executing that operation, that positional truth, because the Lord will execute. He's the high priest of our profession. He'll not only execute the death, he's not executing that. This is very important. You understand this. What you have to do is divide yourself the way God divides yourself. God sees you as a new creation. You're a new creation, but I have an old man, but a new creation. When God is executing judgment against the old man, he's not executing judgment against you. You have to know that. When the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, that is not the new man being crucified. You have to be able to distinguish the difference, because sometimes we get in the doctrinal thing, and I talked a lot about this, so I won't get on this a lot. We get in the doctrinal thing that I'm going to this crucifixion. We start wearing that in our new man, what was only designed for our old man. And we start wearing things that we're not designed to wear. And we walk around, it's like, oh, I got to take up my cross daily and die daily. Then what happens? You'll see people that get too far up into that, and they'll get an atmosphere around them. Because what happened? They're taking upon their new man what was only designed for their old man. You are not dying daily in your new man. Your new man is designed to live daily. Your new man is designed to be infused daily. It's the old man that he puts down. It's the new man he raises up. You have to make that distinction the way he makes that distinction, or you'll wear something you're not designed to wear. Amen. All right. Well, that said, I want to show you today what we have to look forward to in this incredible redemption we have. So first, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. All that was review. I'm going to show you the three operations I've been shown about the operations of this life. Before you do that, go to John 5. Then we'll go to Hebrews, verse 25. John 5, 25. Verily, verily. When he says verily, verily, that means pay attention. Amen? If he says verily, that means pay attention. If he says very, verily, that means seriously, seriously pay attention. The hour's coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. As the Father, he's actually talking about the new covenant. He goes, listen, everybody's dead. They're all dead in, you know, as far as the law of sin and death. He says, you're all dead, but you're about to hear the words of life now. I'm about to awaken you. He says, the Father had life in himself. He's given the Son to have life in himself, and he's given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Now, he has life in himself. He's been given authority to execute judgment. What kind of judgments he's executing? That's not the great white throne judgment where he's executing judgment because of the deeds of what you did. That judgment is he's executing against the law of sin and death that we were born with. He was given authority. The day you give your life to the Lord, he has authority to execute judgment against the old fallen man and bring you from death to life. Amen? Because it's supposed to read, as the Father had life in himself, he's given the Son to have life in himself, that we might have life in ourselves. Amen? Now, so with that in mind, I want to show you what he has in store for us. Because he told me, he goes, it's not just about being crucified in your old man. I have a plan also to quicken your old man while you're here. Until you get fully glorified, until you get your glorified body, God's got a plan. You know we can wear his life in this body. And that's what he wants. He wants us to wear and put on the newness of life. Amen? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. He's actually picking Hebrews 4 right back up here. They talk about Hebrews 4, he's picking it right back up here. Verse 19. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness, because he's talking about come boldly to the throne of grace. He's picking that right back up now. To enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus, by the new and the living way. The consecrated through the veil of his flesh. That is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. So he's telling us, see, not only is the high priest administrating two-edged sword for the dividing asunder, spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, all things are naked and open before him and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the old part, but here's the new part, because he's having a high priest. He's saying, having therefore boldness come your high priest by the new and the living way. Here's the other part. Let us draw near. Notice all of this happens when we draw near to Him, not Him drawing to us. None of these operations are going to happen if you're in the mindset, God, visit me. You have to make your journey to Him. Amen. You have to make your ascent to Him. You have to be in His presence for these things to operate like this. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Got to operate in faith. Man, every day your faith should be operating for something. I got my faith working for all kinds of things right now. Man, every day you should be engaged in faith. I call it project-oriented faith. We have the crown, but I'm also executing faith for this old man to be fully buried and for the new man to be made alive. It's all faith, 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 faith. Amen? The just shall live, what? By faith. Gotta have faith. He says, by the new and the living way, which He consecrated to the veil, that is to say His flesh, having a high priest, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. You're not going to get full assurance if you're not exercising faith. Full assurance comes through the exercising of daily faith. You'll move into a realm of assurance. It's an inner assurance you get with God and by God. Don't know how to fully describe that to you, but it's something you wear. You have it. You know it. You understand it. When you're operating in it, you get it. You're in a flow. You're the rhythm. It's almost like a frequency you enter into. It's a frequency of assurance and confidence you get with God. You're not going to get that if you're not operating in it. You have to operate, operate, operate. Amen. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Watch this. Love this scripture. This is an administration of our high priest, having our bodies washed with pure water. Washing our body. And He's not talking about you getting your shower that morning. God has some living water. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. You got to get a vision of this water. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out from the throne of the Father, proceeding out of the Lamb. This is administrated in the throne of grace. There's a lot of things happening in the throne of grace. That's where He buries you and He raises you on a daily basis. That's where He takes down the old man and He lifts the new man up. It's called the great exchange of the throne of grace. The more revelation you have there, the more you can understand what He actually does. He never designed for you to just live in a state of defeat. He has a victory on a daily basis for you if you get in His frequency. Amen. And there's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Got to get a vision of that. Beautiful, clean, crystal water. Nothing like it on the earth. Flowing out of the throne of the Lamb. Flowing out of the Father, out of the throne of the Lamb. Flowing into you. You can have access to that because that is the living water that He washes you with. He said He'll wash your body with pure living water. He washes you from the effects of sin. Because your body lives in a world dominated by sin, your body will have the effects of it. You may not be sinning, but you have the effects of it. And you can wear certain things. You can wear depressions. You can wear things you're not designed to wear. Even though He has legally broken its hold over you, He has a system not only to bury things, but cause you to live. And you can present your body. I do it all the time. I stand right there in the waterfalls of His grace. I see the clear waterfalls. I see the river. I'll stand in the midst of it. You can access the living, crystal clear waters of God on a daily basis. You can dwell in it. You can receive it. You can be washed in it. It's cleansing water. It's whole waters. It's glorious waters. It's all done by faith. He said, the full assurance of faith, having our bodies washed in pure water, you can present your body to be washed. Some people say, I've never done that before. Well, it's a good day to start. You have to do it by faith. You got to get in His presence. You got to know what's there. If you don't know what's there, you don't draw up on it. Isn't it amazing all the things He's done for us? But if we don't know what He's done and we don't practice what He's done, or we don't get into the frequency of what He's done, we'll never receive it. We just go through life missing some of the greatest opportunities. We can have our bodies washed on a daily basis. Washes it with pure crystal water. How many of you feels good when you take a shower? I mean, you thank God we have showers. I mean, this feels good when you've worked all day or worked out and you take a shower and you're in that. I mean, that's the way it is in the spirit too. It feels good to have your body washed in the rivers of life. And when you learn how to do it, you'll start doing it every day because you like the feeling of being clean. Amen. You like to walk around clean. You like to walk around whole. You like to walk around pure. Because we need this, because there are times we're going to go through things. There's going to times we get clothed in things. There's times the things happen to us. How many of you ever come around somebody and they just dumped all over you? They're going through all of it and they just dumped it all over you. How many has that ever happened before you? Now, sometimes in the ministry, that's going to happen. You're anointed for ministry. Sometimes you're just not a dumping ground. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just let somebody just spew all over you. And you walk around going, oh. But anyway, when we go through things like that, you'll feel ugh when you come across there. Because what was on them now is on you. Now you have to be washed of that. That's spiritual stuff that needs cleansing. And we need it all the time. That is the first level of the operations of living water. And it can literally get into your body. He'll wash your body with living water. It's part of his redemption for us. Amen. Praise God. All right. Go to Romans 8. Let's see number 2. Romans 8, verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now watch again. Here's a redemption. He said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, say that's me. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, what? Quicken, say quicken, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. Quicken your what? Mortal bodies. Mortal bodies that dwell in you. By his spirit that dwells in you. That word quicken means to restore to life. Give the increase of life. It is the Zoe life. It's the resurrection life of God that the Spirit of God will take. And he'll quicken. He'll flood your body with that life. You'll happen a lot of time when you're in worship. And you'll get into the glory and not only your spirit will feel, but it'll get on your body. You'll feel invigorated. It's an invigorating life. Amen. When you're in the spirit, a lot of times you'll get in the deep worship. And that's the glory realm. But how many of you got into the life realm when the resurrection life, you can feel it. It's very brilliant. It's invigorating. It gets in your body. It gets in your mind. It gets in your heart. It lifts all oppression. Your mind feels free. Your body feels free. I mean, you got step. Amen. That's a quickening process that the Holy Spirit takes the law of the Spirit of life and he floods your body with that life. That's part of his redemption as we walk around so we don't walk around all heavy and broken and busted and disgusted. We're not supposed to walk around with depression. We're supposed to walk around full. It's not just supposed to be on a Sunday morning. We're supposed to be in front of our high priest. And I am beginning now every day to set my faith for the quickening because it all transpires and transacts by faith. There are times in worship you'll get the anointing. It'll be automatic. But you can actually get into a frequency of God where you can start receiving the quickening on a daily basis. It keeps depression off of you. It keeps heaviness off of you. It keeps you invigorated, on fire, in life. It keeps you strong in the Lord. So you don't walk around weak like a wet noodle all the time. It keeps you maintained. There's a maintenance life where it invigorates and infuses your body. It's called the quickening. You present your body. The Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice. Old man sacrificed, new man. So your body's amazing because it can go through a crucifixion and a resurrection all in one day. He'll crucify the old desire and resurrect your body because his life will get up in your body. And when his life is up in your body, you don't want the things of the world. You don't desire the things of the world. It deadens your body. It creates a mortification in your body to the things of the world. Your body's not desiring. If your body's over-desiring the things of the world, it's because it's not receiving the quickening. And the law of sin and death is trying to creep up into the body. Even though he broke the law of sin and death, the Bible says you've got to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, for sin shall have no dominion over you. Now, you can't just do that with this one. And here's what we do. I'm preaching good today. Praise God. You can't just do that with discipline alone. We're not called to just be disciplined little creatures all the time. We discipline because those desires are real. I understand what we fight with. There's constant stuff being surrounding us. It's surrounding us and our body can attach to it. Our body's familiar with it. Our body likes that side of it. Our body likes the glory. Our body likes the other side. It's a really unique, strange creation. But if we just constantly discipline ourselves and we're just holding the discipline, no, without the real life flow, that's not really creating the effect that he's looking for. If we can get our body positioned in this quickening on a daily basis, you'll stop struggling with the things you struggle with. You'll stop struggling with heaviness, depression. You'll start struggling from the things of the world. You'll stop struggling with the things you struggle with. When that life gets in you, here's the thing, you want more of it. When you get quickened, you want more. It's awesome. The quickening of that life, the quickening flow, that's phase two. He washes your body, then he quickens. The Lord said, this is your redemption. You can have this daily if you can get yourself in the frequency of it. Here's the beautiful thing. You get in that frequency, you'll live in that frequency. You won't be going all the way down. You won't be roller coasting in your life. You'll start moving from glory to glory because what's happened is building a shield of life, a shield of glory, a shield of grace, a shield of power, an exceeding great and precious shield of life around you. What's happening is you're becoming immune to the world system. I'm not just walking around disciplining myself against the world system, saying, woe is me. I'm walking with a life that's coming out of heaven, that's flooding my body to the degree that it's not desiring the world. But if I don't, and I don't get that life flowing, my body will naturally desire the things of the world because it's being subject to the world 24/7. I don't have to hide. I just bring it into the light. I bring it into the light. God knows you struggle with stuff. He says, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity. With all points tempted, yet without sin. He says, come boldly. He's asking you to come boldly to bring your issues that need tissues to him. He wants you to bring your stuff to him. What's the first thing we do when we miss it? We hide, just like Adam did. We go try to cover ourselves with fig leaves. You cannot hide from God. When you get the certain light of God, nothing hides from him. When you get to the point where you can't hide your heart anymore, when he's got the light on your heart and there's nowhere to go, I mean, you just might as well wave your white flag of surrender because you can't run from that. There's no running from it. Amen. I said this the other day. I want to say this. This is very important. You hear this. The Lord, when he is in the office, he holds many offices where we're concerned. When he is in the office of a high priest, he cannot change. Now understand that. When he's in the office of a high priest, he is there for three things: mercy, grace, and help. He cannot change. He's not going to look at you a different way. When you come to him, when he invites you to bring your stuff to him, as dark as it is, if he's inviting you, he's not going to stand in judgment over you. He's only going to stand in judgment over that old man. He does not see you combobulated in one thing. He sees old and new. He sees old and new. When you bring it to him, he sees old and new.
He cannot differentiate. He sees old and new. He doesn't combine them. And so when he executes judgment, he's only executing judgment against the old. The new he loves, and he cannot change that part of his office. He will not change. It's always mercy. I don't care how many times you missed it. I don't care how much you struggle with. If you bring it to him, it's always love. If you're bringing it to him for 5 years straight, it's still love. It's still love. Because he invites you to bring it to him. He cannot change the function of his office. It's mercy. It's love. It is judgment, but not against you. It's only judgment against the old man that you brought to him. He's inviting you to bring the old man to him. He's inviting you. When you get that revelation that he loves you, he's inviting you to bring your stuff. But stop hiding. Come to me. I'm your mediator. I'm going to get you in touch with the Father, but I'm going to get this stuff out of the way. I'm your mediator, and I am mercy. That's all I am is mercy. I am love, and that's all I am is love. I'm here to help. You got to know that part of him. So many people, if they could just know that part and know that he cannot change that part of his priesthood, then you'd come to him more often and not run from him. You would come to him and learn to bring it to him and bring it into the light, because all he's going to do is love. He's love. He's amazing. Amen. But then he wants to initiate not only judgment against the old, he wants to start building and infusing you with life. And as we can begin to exercise our faith for the quickening, clothe me in resurrection life, flood me with resurrection life, fill this body. I present this body a living sacrifice, dead to the old man, but living. Flood, quicken, say flood, quicken. Clothe me in the resurrection life. Clothe me in the life. Clothe my body in life. Clothe my mind with life. Clothe this flesh with life. And life more abundantly. You came that I might have life. And life more abundantly. Clothe me. Quicken me. Fill me for this day. Amen. Flood me for this day. Because you start getting this life, you got step. Man, you start feeling good. You got the life for that day. It's a deposit for that day. And you're going to use it all that day. You're going to need another one the next day. That's the way we were designed to abide with him. We were designed to dwell with him on a daily basis and partake of the heavenly calling. We are partakers. Say partakers. Of the inheritance of the saints and the light. All this is at the tree of life. Oh, the things that we miss when we don't stand before him. The things that we miss, but all the things we get when we get it. Praise God. You're not going to get that just going there and laying before him. That is not going to happen. I promise you. If your prayer life is you get in and just lay before God, that's not going to happen. You have to interact in faith and make a demand on it. You have to pull it from him. You have to get in his presence and call upon it and speak it. You have to be in that interactive mode. It's that frequency you get into in faith. But when you do, you'll get it. Amen. He doesn't want you just coming just when you have issues. He wants you coming to get filled every day. Sometimes I'll come in there. I don't have any issues at all. Can you believe that? There's literally times I can go there that I am free of all issues. I'm coming to get some life. There are many, many times I'm coming to get some serious mercy too. Amen. We don't have to come to him just when we need mercy. He wants you to come to him when you want the life too. He's distributing life and mercy. He's distributing crucifixion to the old and resurrection to the new on a daily given basis. That's what he does.
Praise God. That's phase two. This is where I am set right now. Go to Matthew 17. I actually believe what happened here happened every time the Lord went in the presence of his Father. I believe what happened in the transfiguration happened. We only saw it because they were witnesses of it. But I believe every time he prayed, he was caught up in this kind of glory. The reason I believe that, if you ever study out his revivals, all you have to do is just back up. When you see a great outpouring of revival, if you'll back up, you'll always see he prayed all night to God. He was praying all night. He was in the presence of his Father. But him praying all night is different than us praying all night. He wasn't contending. He was dwelling
in the presence of his Father. He was in a state of oneness that I believe the church is going to fully enter into in this last hour. I believe we're going to come into the fullness of it. But to do that, we have to set a compass for it. Amen. Praise God. I want to show you this. What he showed me, he says, this is the ultimate right here. This is the ultimate. Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them into a high mountain, let's say a high mountain, apart, and was transfigured before them. Notice this, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. That life, that resurrection life, so infused his body, it lit up his countenance. It said it shined as the sun. Literally, the resurrection life. He was actually entering in to the true glorification of what every one of us are going to receive on the glorified body. And when he showed me that, he said, that is actually what's going to happen when your body is glorified. That your body will receive the same life that your spirit received, eternal outflow, inflow of life, and you'll radiate the glory of God. Out from your countenance will be radiating the glory of God. Amen? Now, he said, that's going to happen at glorification, but you have access now because I've purchased it for you. But if you can literally get your body into a state of what he's purchased for you. But we're going to have to start making it a man on this. We're going to have to start moving in to get our bodies washed. It starts with the washing. It starts with the quickening. But we can start moving towards the day we're going to walk in glorification. He'll put it on us and we have to get some more the next day. But when he would pray, he'd come out all night in prayer. All of a sudden, when those revivals come, I mean, he would come out and he'd have a mass revival that day after being in prayer all night because God was lighting him up, flooding him with resurrection life, and that life was flowing out of him. And the Lord said, this belongs to you if you can accept it. His face did shine as the sun. How do you know? Because Peter, James, and John were invited into the glory. The cloud overshadowed him, and they all got inside that glory. Isn't that awesome? We know it's on Peter, chapter 5 of Acts. It's Peter come out, he's in prayer all day, and all of a sudden the cloud of glory was upon him. He says there was a cloud of glory. Go to Acts 5, I want to show it to you. It cost everything, but oh, the cost is so easy when we're flowing in that realm. It's only costly when we allow something between us and God. The price is actually easy to pay when we're flowing in the glory. It's easy to do it. It's only difficult when we have things between us and God. Verse 14. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there were multitude out of the cities around about Jerusalem, Baytown, Austin, Dallas, Galveston, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. Say everyone. You have that healed, everyone. That's not gift realm. That's glory realm. That shadow wasn't just his shadow being produced by the sun. That was the glory of God upon him. Peter was caught up in the glory. It was on him. It was on his countenance. It was on everything. They actually, in fact, the previous chapter when he was given, they said that they saw his countenance like the angel. It's like the glory of God. Say the glory of God was on him. And he's walking, the glory is manifest. See, that's the manifested life we can carry in our body. See, the manifested life. And whatever that life touched, boom, healing. When that kind of resurrection life gets on you, everything that's dead will live again. That's Ezekiel 47 live. Everything that's dead that gets in your presence will live. Dead bodies will live. Sickness will immediately be turned to life. Blessings of God. When that atmosphere gets on you, it's blessing. Say it's blessing. It's glory. It's fullness. We can access this being administrated by the great high priest. He says, the Father hath life in himself. He's given to us to have life. He says, I come that you might have life. It's full of promises. He that followeth me, you will not walk in the darkness of the world, but you'll have the light of life. I'm going to light you up with my life. In him was life. In his life was the light of men. He wants to light us up with his life. Amen. He wants us to wear resurrection life. He don't want us just being string beans coming in here and ministering with yesterday's manna. He wants us full fresh. That's coming from abiding. Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will to be done because I'm going to be with you in that. That's the Father's ministry operating in us. That's what we have looked forward to. That's what I want. That's what we're going to achieve before this is over. That's what we're set for. Amen. Our high priest is going to go put to death the old man. He's going to bring the new to life. He's going to bring our bodies to life. He's going to start doing this on a daily basis. Crucifying the old, resurrecting the new. Yes. To where our bodies are not going to desire the world. Even our bodies will not be appealing. Nothing will appeal to us because we're carriers of the life now. Amen. The world grows strangely dim when you're in the glory of God. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. It's about the resurrection. I'll show you one more thing if you want me to.
Strangely, I got this during worship, and I actually got up and went back and typed it up. It's his sermon. I called the whole once more. In the power of your spirit, I move from here to there. Earth falls away, and new things I see. I've changed places, I am aware. New fragrance fills the place, and new senses pick up truth. I see in heaven now the mercy sent to soothe, to pay the price, to set the path. He came to be the door. His life made him the shepherd. There is one, and then no more. He is the door to a place, to a deep and heavenly place, and opens to all who seek him to get to the Father's face. Wisdom flows there as water in its fall, seeking to dwell in one and seeking to dwell in all. Infinite peace and mercy surround each wounded soul, seeking to break through defenses and make every receiver whole. Come to the Father through Jesus, the only door. Accept all he has to offer to make you whole once more.
That's beautiful. Praise God. Y'all want one more? Go to Philippians 3. I want to show you something. Paul got up into this. He got way up into it. I'm going to show you what he was wanting to obtain. He wrote this letter here, one of the final letters he wrote. And this is incredible. Verse 8 of Philippians 3. It says, yes, doubtless, I count all things for the loss of the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. To be found in him. This is apostolic stuff. I'm telling you right now it is. To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Now watch this. Paul was able to distinguish the two different parts and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So when we hear that, it's like, well, I'm going to go suffer for the Lord. He was talking about presenting his old man into the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ so Christ could put him down and know him in the new man and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Being made conformable unto his death, having all of the old man being put down by the power of the Lord, not by the power of human sacrifice or human will. Right? See it? Be made conformable to his death. If by any means, say, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Do you know what he wanted in his life? He wanted a resurrection like Enoch. He wanted an Elijah resurrection. He was so set in putting his old man down, so set on the resurrection, he wanted to obtain a resurrection and be caught up. That's what he was looking for. He goes, not that I've obtained, but I press on to the mark of the high prize of the high calling of God. That's what he considered the high calling of God, the full resurrection. Isn't that incredible? Hey, we can get anything in between, my friends, but we need to obtain something. Amen? Whether you wash, whether you quicken, or whether you transfigure. We can wash, we can quicken, we can transfigure. It all belongs to us in this hour. Isn't that glorious? All that's the administration of our high priest, and all that's going to be accomplished by faith. Amen? Let's stand. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.